Alrighty, good morning. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, those of you who are here in person, and those of you who are online, who might be a few more than usual for based upon what I'm seeing out here. It's our prayer in this Easter season that you will know and experience the resurrection of our living Savior. I've got a few announcements, maybe a little more than usual. Due to weather, you're not sitting out there in the cold. The worship outdoors has been postponed, and we'll have a prayer about it later too, to next Sunday, May 1, and we hope to see you then. It'll be a good event. Let's just hope the weather's good. Number two, join us on Thursday, May 7 at 6:30 p.m. on Zoom. If you need help accessing Zoom, someone younger than me can help you, for the webinar called Being Church in a Post-Christian World, a Conversation. Pastor Noah will be joined by Reverend Edwin Van Driel and Reverend Kendra Buckwalter Smith to discuss the question, what does it mean to be the body of Christ in an increasingly post-Christian society? Sounds a little dry, but I think it's actually going to be exciting. And I've been promised by Noah that the two reverends that are assisting are really a good group to really get everybody thinking about an important topic. The learning will draw not only from their experience and knowledge, but from the church in the Netherlands. So you know that the Dutch can be quite frank, so be prepared for that. You can sign up through the link in the weekly email, which hasn't come yet, or by reaching out to the church office, and we hope that you'll join us in that. And it's Zoom, and Zoom you can turn your camera off, so you actually could be eating some dinner while you're watching the Zoom. Now, also, mark your calendars for Saturday, May 30, for the annual church picnic at Overholm Farm. Everybody familiar with Overholm Farm? More information will be made available as the date draws near, and that's always a great occasion. And finally, join us in Holman Hall following worship for fellowship and refreshments. Now, let's prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you, Marcus. Please rise if you're able as we are called to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving.
And extol him with music and song.
Same risen Lord who has gathered us to worship, now greet you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you gather us on this first day of the week, the day of resurrection in which Christ defeated sin, death and hell, and gave us victory over the grave. We praise you for your mercy and grace, which comes to us before we ever know our need, and which sustains us as we live as witnesses to your good news. Attend to our worship by your Holy Spirit, that our prayers and songs, our thanksgivings and confessions may give you glory. Meet us here, and grow in us a great love for our Savior, just as he has loved us. Through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Trusting in God's mercy and grace, let us confess our sins together. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more into your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life, it is gone. The new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I would invite our young disciples down for a children's message.
Good morning, good morning. Well, good morning. Well, if you remember, we've been talking about how to pray. So last week, we talked about praying with our arms over our heads or our eyes wide open. And today, we're going to read this story called Thank You, God, and learn how to give thanks. Okay, can you see? Thank you, God, for the sun to wake up the day, for the light to see all that you have made. Thank you, God, for family and friends who hold and hug and care, who smile and laugh and play and love. Thank you, God, for making the world so big and beautiful, for bees and trees and everything that breathes. Thank you, God, for home, with walls and windows around, keeping us close. Thank you, God, for time together, for meals shared and songs sung, for love whispered. Thank you, God, for the night, for stars and the moon and planets, for sleep and dreams of a new day. Bless you, God, for this day, for life, for your love holding us together. Amen. So we learn that God gives us all sorts of things. He gives us each other. I see there's some love between brothers here. He gives us toys. He gives us family and friends. And we can give thanks for all of those things. So, will you pray with me? Can I see your prayer hands, please? Okay, this is a repeat after me prayer. You can pray in any posture. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for everything. The big things, the small things, and everything in between. Show us every day the goodness of all you make. In Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. You can go back to your seats now or to the fellowship hall.
Let's turn again to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, through your word and by your Holy Spirit, open the eyes of our faith that we may see you in all your redeeming work. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, starting in the 41st verse. You'll remember that we are looking at what it means and what it looks like to be a witness to Jesus Christ. And those opening chapters of Acts in which we're in really give us a unique picture of what the church did and thought and embodied as they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. So in this passage, this is right after Peter's Pentecost sermon. So the Spirit has fallen on the disciples, they've gone out, and he's proclaimed a message. And then we hear of the people's response. So hear now God's word to you, given in love. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Again, we're exploring the question, what does it look like to be a witness to Jesus Christ? Last week, we saw that witnessing begins with our words, using our words to point beyond ourselves to what we have experienced of the gospel. Now, witness is always more than words, but it is never less. Now, today, we turn to the more. That is witness in word and in deed. For just as deeds without words are ambiguous and even meaningless, so words without deeds are empty and at worst false. Words and deeds have always gone together in witnessing. We see this as early as that first gathering of the body of Christ in the book of Acts, in what we just read. Following the Apostle Peter's Spirit-filled sermon, around 3,000 people believed and were baptized. And their immediate response then was to be gathered together as a community. They would not be isolated believers with some private faith, but they would be a particular community that lived in a particular way in and for the world. We see that their inner life, that is how they lived together, was characterized by a devotion to the word and sacrament, to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread. They were devoted to fellowship with one another and to prayer. They had a common life, a shared life. They were a family, even though they shared no blood. They would eat meals at each other's homes. They would never forsake coming together, whether in the temple or in other people's houses or in the streets. And then this inner life, so this way that they lived together, it didn't stay contained, but it spilled out in and for others. We're told that they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, we take it for granted that people would help those in need. But at this time, that was virtually unheard of, especially if those were not your people. But these first Christians, they put aside those cultural, social, ethnic, and even religious divides to help those in need around them, giving to all. They were people of generous hearts, and their community was filled with awe and gladness. With awe and gladness. And those around them, they noticed. They noticed something was different about this group. What's surprising about the account here in Acts is that this ragtag crew of believers, they gained the goodwill of all the people. Now, I don't know of any group, really, in the history of the world that could say it of itself, we gained the goodwill of all the people. But they did. And to that, day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. People saw this community, saw how they lived, saw their words and their deeds, and knew that something was different, that this was something they had never seen before. And it's not because the Christians didn't do or say anything that was contrary to the religious or cultural norms. They did. But their words and deeds, unlike so many movements of the past, showed forth a wholly different reality. That is, their actions showed that they believed something different was going on in the world. And what we know is that this something different was Jesus Christ. Their words and deeds reflected their belief that in Jesus Christ, something radically different had taken place, and that the world could never be the same. They could never be the same. Now, to be clear, especially to us skeptics, these actions were not some scheme that was plotted out to just show how popular they could be. These believers were really swimming against the current. And so we see that it's really nothing that they could have thought up themselves. They didn't do any of the normal movement growth techniques. You know, they didn't start a coffee shop. And, you know, they weren't on TV. They didn't have a YouTube stream. They did something totally radically different. They had a life together with people that were so different from each other. It could only be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave shape and meaning to their life together, to the way they acted as a body of believers, but also how they acted in the world. And it showed that their words and their deeds were a direct result, were a direct reflection of what they knew to be true. Namely, that Jesus Christ, by his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, has redeemed the world, has inaugurated God's kingdom, and is making all things new. What they confessed with their lips, that Jesus Christ was Savior and King now, was shown forth in their actions. A life together formed by the Holy Spirit, giving of themselves, pouring themselves out for the needs of others. These early believers lived as though the kingdom was coming in their lifetime. And this wasn't a delusion. They weren't ill-informed, but they had an urgency to their spirit that their confession of faith required. If Jesus Christ really did all that they believed he did, how could they live in a way didn't reflect that? The witness of these Christians in word and deed was the natural response to the reality made possible by the gospel. And as we've seen now, the church throughout the ages, over these past 2,000 plus years, we've seen that the radical power of the good news has given rise to likewise radical witness in word and deed. I'll just give you one example. In 165 AD, in the Roman Empire, during the reign of Marcus Aurelius, an epidemic of what is now thought to be smallpox was brought to Rome by soldiers who were returning from war. The disease decimated the army and quickly spread throughout the empire. It is estimated that a fourth to a third of the entire population perished in outbreaks which came over 15 years. Now, many citizens, fearing the sickness, would flee their towns and cities and go into the countryside, often leaving those who were sick behind. They would leave sick friends. They would leave spouses. They would even leave children in their beds to die. And while others left, it was the Christians who remained. They stayed. They risked everything to care for the sick and dying. It didn't matter a person's status these believers showed love and mercy to all, while others sought to run away and save themselves. These Christians ran toward the sick and the needy and gave of their all. This is the power that they believed in. That something radically different had happened so that they would not fear death. So they would not fear for their lives while they sought the good of another. The weight and power of the Christian message has always given rise to witness in word and deed. It moved believers to run toward the sick when others were running away. It's moved the church to take up the cause of the weak and the orphan, the poor and the widowed, against all cultural and social expectations. It has caused the church to stand up for the dignity of all human beings as created in God's image. In every age, the gospel of Jesus Christ has transformed people to show God's kingdom love and grace to all. And in those instances where the church, where Christians have failed to do so, and in some ways continue to fail to do so, it is because they have forgotten the message that they proclaim. They have forgotten the impact that they profess. We witness and in word and in deed because it displays that new kingdom reality into which we have been received. And so the question to us this morning is, if we truly believe Jesus has made a difference in and for the world, how can we afford to live in any way that communicates the opposite? The theologian and pastor Leslie Newbegin, writing over 30 years ago, says, "How is it possible that the gospel should be credible? That people should come to believe that the power which has the last word in human affairs is represented by a man hanging on the cross?" I am suggesting that the only answer, the only hermeneutic of the gospel, is a congregation of men and women who believe it and live by it. Who believe it and live by it. This is our calling as Christians. This is our calling as witnesses to Jesus Christ. To believe the gospel, but then to live by it. To let our words and deeds reflect that radical kingdom reality that has come into the world. So may we pray that the Holy Spirit would shape our life together and would give us, this church, courage to be witnesses of the gospel in word and deed, to give of ourselves for the life of the world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, like those first disciples at Pentecost, you continue to send your Holy Spirit to fill and direct the church, giving shape and meaning to our witness in word and in deed. Grant us wisdom and courage to discern and follow where you are leading, so that we may proclaim the gospel in this community and to the ends of the earth. Give life and power to our witness, O God, that it may speak into the lives of all those in need, the least and the lost, the broken and the undone. And deliver us, we pray, from all those idols and temptations that would have us forget the good news and go our own broken way. As your people, gathered by your Spirit, hear us, God, as we pray and lift to you our cares. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, you have defeated the powers of sin and death and inaugurated your kingdom to come. As we await that day when it comes in full, grant your justice and peace to flourish in every land. Bring an end to violence and hatred. Bring unity in the midst of division, and heal every wound, that all may flourish as those made in your image. Help us to see the humanity in all people, especially those who we might call our enemies. And make us instruments of your healing peace. Lord Jesus Christ, you established your church from every tribe and tongue, nation and language, to embody your kingdom and witness to your redeeming power. Fill us with your love and grace, that we might show the world that we are your disciples. Grant that our life together will reflect your light, drawing all those in need of good news into your presence. And by your sovereign grace, across the world, gather in day by day more of those who are being saved. Especially this day, O God, we lift to you the church in Israel, Palestine, and in Lebanon. We pray that you would strengthen them against strife and hatred, that you would empower their witness to the way of Jesus Christ, and that you might shine through them a light which will make for peace. Lord, may these be instruments of your peace in the Middle East, and raise up generation after generation of faithful leaders. In this community, O God, that you have called Hebron, grant us that same wisdom and courage, that we might have discerning hearts and open minds to receive where you are guiding, to reach out in word and deed to this lost world. Holy Spirit, giver of life, by your power, raise us from all that would keep us under the shadow of death. Heal the sick, comfort those who mourn, be a loving presence to the lonely. Especially, we lift to you those people and situations that need your care, naming them in this moment. Especially, God, we lift to you those in our community impacted by domestic violence. For those who do not have a safe home. And for those who are seeking healing after painful separations. Have mercy, O God. Blessed Trinity, we lift to you these our prayers, knowing that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine. For we pray it in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All that we have is God's, and all that we give out of gratitude and thanksgiving. So walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the gifts that you provide, and we give these back a token of our faith and our hope in you, knowing that all we have is yours. Bless and sanctify these gifts, multiply them for their use, and help us to be good stewards of them, that we might proclaim in word and deed the saving power of Jesus Christ. For we pray it in his name. Amen. From this place to love and serve the Lord in word and deed, proclaiming all that Jesus Christ has done. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God, which I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen.
Thank you. the week.